G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Well, as the Islamic Taliban regime assumes power after the fall of Afghanistan, questions continue to be asked about major nations turning their backs on Afghan nationals who were desperate to leave the country. Criticism has been levelled at the UK, especially around a campaign to airlift out of Afghanistan some of the cats and dogs of Kabul in the hold of a specially chartered flight. And what is disturbing is the way many Christians have seemingly been overlooked by their government, even though they face the most extreme dangers under Taliban rule. Well, Barnabas Fund is a Christian organisation advocating for persecuted Christians. They've been struggling to get a hearing from the UK government, having assisted 400 Afghan Christians to escape and are working with another 1,200 to get out of Afghanistan and into safe countries. Ashley Saunders is the Australian CEO of Barnabas Fund and joining us. Ashley, welcome back to 2020.
Good morning, Neil. It's great to be with you and with your listeners.
Ashley, the prime criticisms come to the UK government here. I wonder whether you've got any thoughts as to where Australia fits in a context when it comes to Christians in Afghanistan.
I'm really hoping that the Australian government does decide to open our doors and open our arms to Afghan Christians. Now, thankfully, Australia has in the past opened our doors and opened our arms to persecuted Christians in the likes of Syria and Iraq, and I'm really hoping that that is followed through, because Afghan Christians, most of whom are converts from Islam, are in a very vulnerable position, and we owe it to them as a result of all the things that we've been a part of in the last 20 years.
Ashley, some will say, why would Christian converts have any special privilege here, or would they jump the queue ahead of others? What are your thoughts about Christian believers in Afghanistan right now who are facing potential death, and why they would be in some ways here needing some preference?
Afghan Christians are probably one of the most vulnerable groups in that country. It's worth noting that most of the Christians in Afghanistan are either converts from Islam or are the children of converts, and they are in a particularly vulnerable position because under the Hanafi view of Sharia, which is the predominant view in Afghanistan, the penalty for being an apostate, which is somebody who deserts Islam, in this case in favour of Christianity, if you're a male apostate, the punishment is death, and if you're a female apostate, the punishment is imprisonment. And so they're in a particularly vulnerable position. And so if you take that Hanafi view of Sharia law, add to that the Taliban and their extremely conservative views and their past track record, Christians are particularly vulnerable, and really we owe it to help as many as we can.
Ashley, under the Karzai-led government, there was engagement with religious minorities and, of course, including Christians. That engagement has its own place in setting up more vulnerabilities, doesn't it, for Christians beyond that time and now under Taliban rule?
Yes, it's worth noting that because the coalition forces of which Australia was a part wanted to promote the idea of the Karzai-led government as an alternative to the Taliban, they needed to show, the Sharia credentials of the Karzai-led government. And so all paid for by coalition partners, Karzai arranged for some Islamic judges to consult and to make some fatwas, that is, some determinations that are Islamic legal declarations. And they confirmed that in those fatwas that apostates should be dealt with in accordance with the view of Sharia in Afghanistan, that is, males to be killed and females to be imprisoned. And so if that's what the government we were supporting was on about, we know how much worse the Taliban is. And so we have contributed not only in a positive sense to, I guess, the life of Afghans, and we praise the Lord that women and girls have been able to achieve so much more in the last 20 years, but we also now owe it to those vulnerable Christians that they are, many of them, most of them are anxious to get out of the country. Now, they can get to another country, an adjoining country, but only on a short-term basis. And we're desperate to have long-term resettlement options. And we're really praying and advocating that Australia will play its role. Britain is rightly criticised because it yet has not made a decision. It seems to be turning its back on these vulnerable Christians.
In the UK, your supporters are seeing some level of betrayal here of the Afghan people and those Christians. Is there any of that sort of sentiment here in Australia too?
Not at this stage, Neil. I'm pleased to say that because we have got this track record of helping vulnerable Christians coming out of Syria and Iraq, and you know, praise the Lord, we've been able to fund a number of those people to come to Australia where they have a hope of a better life, and they've been connected with local ethnic churches and communities, and so there's been a very good process of that. And so Australia does actually have a good track record, so that we're hopeful. That's as high as I can put it. We're hopeful that Australia will open its doors, open our arms to these vulnerable people.
An interesting twist in all of this, Ashley Saunders. I'm interested in your perspective here, because while we talk about minority groups and apostate groups, and Christians are very much a part of that, but atheists also are considered apostate, and I know there's not too many atheists in a place like Afghanistan, but it's an interesting twist, isn't it, that people even who say they don't believe in any God would also be considered apostate, and no doubt under the same sort of focus perhaps of losing their lives.
Yes, you see, if you are ethnically Afghan, then under Sharia law you are meant to be a Muslim. And therefore, if you have deserted Islam, whether for Christianity or you've become an atheist, you are apostate. And so the idea of having the freedom to choose a faith, or the freedom to choose not to have a faith, those kinds of freedoms that here in the West, in countries like Australia, we have taken for granted. Sure, as you and I have spoken about before, that there are threats in Australia, but we've taken those freedoms for granted. But they're not freedoms that are universally recognised, and they're not at all recognised in countries like Afghanistan. So when they talk about catering for religious minorities, you see, if you are a part of an ethnic minority that identifies ethnically as according to Christians, so for example, in other countries, Assyrians are known to be Christians, Armenians are known to be Christians. They're ethnically part of a group that identifies as Christian. We have every reason to hope that the Taliban may very well afford a degree of consideration to those people. But for those who have left Islam, those who have been saved by the good news of Jesus Christ, are particularly vulnerable. Now, some of those have already left, and as you said in the introduction, Barnabas Fund is supporting those. Some of those are really keen to get out. Now, there are a few who've made the decision that they want to stay, and we're pretty keen to make sure that even for those, we want to support them as best we can as they make that decision.
If we're talking about those who do want to escape, Ashley, there are no doubt some strategies in place, and no doubt these things are expensive too, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But if you say, get in the queue like everybody else, the UNHCR's program is, as I understand it, considered quite functionally discriminatory, because if you're a part of one of those minority groups, you can't get in the line. You can't actually go through those processes. So Christians are disadvantaged in a tremendous way, even through the UNHCR's program.
We've long had concerns about how the United Nations operates its programs, and very concerned about how the queue operates and who is on the queue, how you manage to demonstrate that you're in need of assistance. You know, even out of Syria and Iraq, the vast majority of Syrians and Iraqis who were resettled to different countries, the vast majority of those were Muslims. Now, the people who are most vulnerable under the ISIS rule were Christians. And if the same sort of thing is happening with Afghanistan, then those who will be assisted by the United Nations programs will not be the vulnerable Christians. They're the ones who rely on organisations like Barnabas Fund through the generosity of our supporters to support them to get out of their country, to support them when they're in a neighbouring country with accommodation and living costs, but also to advocate and then fund for them to be resettled into a permanent third country. And there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes trying to get as many of these resettled into permanent countries. And the cost of doing that will not be small, but it's worth doing because these are valuable brothers and sisters in Christ, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ.
I remember when there were some resettlement programs for refugees out of Syria at the peak of the conflict that was going on there, and there was a move to bring Christians to Australia, and there was an outcry here from certain sections of political landscape and the media saying, don't give the Christians priority. Is there a sense here in which that could happen all over again?
That could happen. Thankfully, we're not aware of that sort of outcry happening at the moment. But the advocacy is happening. It's happening in quiet ways. It's happening in the ways that we think are needed. Yes, there is a danger that that outcry might happen. I don't understand, Neil, why in the West, in countries like Australia, the prevailing norm is increasingly that everyone deserves protection except for Christians. Now, I don't understand that. When the people coming out of Syria and Iraq, many of them could have gone to either Shia or to Sunni Muslim-majority countries in the area, but the vast majority wanted to get to the West, and the West opened its doors. Now, I don't know the update figures, but about 2 or 3 years ago, my colleague in New Zealand did a Freedom of Information request to say, in the last 12 months, how many refugees coming from the Middle East to New Zealand have identified as Muslims? How many have identified as Christians? And, you know, the figures that came, and I've seen the document that came from the government in New Zealand, that in the 12 months that was in question, not a single refugee that was taken in by New Zealand was a Christian. They were all Muslims. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand the mindset that says that the people who are most vulnerable are the ones that we don't want.
What we do understand is that if you are renowned to be, and no doubt there's intelligence that will enlighten the Taliban as to who is Christian, then you are an incredibly dangerous situation. Ashley Saunders, a quick thought or two here around how we might pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Ashley, how might we pray for those Christians?
For those who have made the courageous decision to stay, pray that they will know on a day-to-day basis the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that they will be kept safe, that the light of the gospel will not leave Afghanistan, that they will be preserved, and that the church in Afghanistan will grow. For those who, for very good reasons, are keen to get out, pray that they will find a way out that is a way of safety and a way to a better future. For those who are already out, pray that countries like Australia and others will open their doors, open their arms, and that these people who have had a pretty hard lot in life already will have the sort of hope of a better future that you and I enjoy.
We already mentioned you've already assisted 400 Afghan Christians to escape Afghanistan. No doubt that is an expensive process. No doubt you could do with a few more friends and partners in helping to make those things happen. How would you like Australians to respond in a financial way by ways that are supportive for Barnabas Fund?
I simply encourage anybody who's interested in more information to go to our website, barnabasfund.org. There you can read about the needs, and if you're moved to give and you have the capacity to do so, then there's a button you can press.
BarnabasFund.org. That's BarnabasFund.org. And there's a international website. You'll find the link there for Australia. Ashley Saunders is the Australian CEO of Barnabas Fund. Ashley, thanks so much for sharing an update with us today on 2020.
Good. Thank you, Neil. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.